Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Hey everybody, this is Matthew Soltysiak and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast. Using my sportscasting background, I speak with a variety of guests and interview key players to gain more insight on what makes this team go. As the Detroit Lions enter a new gritty era, we'll look beyond just the kneecaps when it comes to the analysis. Welcome to another episode. It's the eve of free agency, so in this episode, we do a final prep of the Detroit Lions free agency situation. This means we're looking at additional players Detroit has brought back so far in the past week, and some they appear to be moving on from. Plus, we look again at the positions of need and talk about the players and positions the Lions might be targeting, especially as a number of players have been cut this week around the NFL. We also think there might be a little insight on the New Jersey situation. Let's get to it, Lions fans.
Hi, everyone. This is Herman Moore, and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast.
I'm joined today by James Cook, senior sports writer for the Traverse City Record Eagle. You can also hear him on the Get Around podcast. It drops on Mondays. James, things are getting exciting. It's good to have you here.
Free agency is always a huge thing. At least the draft this year isn't our Super Bowl, even though they host it.
That is true. It'll be a fun event with us hosting it, but it's not our Super Bowl. And, you know, we already did the preview for free agency, but man, there's a lot going on this week leading up to it. 9 franchise tags used, some not used, and a number of players cut. And that was done to help a number of teams get under their salary cap. It's not that they didn't like the players, it's that they weren't sure they could afford them. So we're going to look at those and how they affect Detroit, but first, let's look at who Detroit Lions have moving around. Earlier in the week, they re-signed tight end Shane Zylstra, who got hurt in training camp last year and missed a whole season, and then today brought back tight end Brock Wright. So 2 tight ends coming back to join Laporta and Mitchell. Looks just like what we had going into training camp last year. I feel really good about that. I thought Zylstra and Brock provided great depth and were solid guys. What are your thoughts on those moves and where that situation leaves us?
Yeah, I'm imagining the Zylstra signing is probably not a whole lot of signing bonus money. So, I mean, he's a guy that could be a practice squad candidate. Maybe doesn't make the roster, or maybe they keep 4 tight ends. You know, we know like Ben Johnson likes to run 2 tight end sets a decent amount. So just keep a tight end in all the time. So on times when you need to give Laporta a break, he's got other options available. That also could mean if they keep 4 tight ends that maybe that's the end of Jason Kabinda. You know, maybe they don't keep a true fullback this year and use their backup tight ends as a fullback. They've all played tight end at one or fullback at one point or another last season.
That is true. You know, the Jason Kabinda situation is going to be a close one to watch. That's what I'm rooting for, just because I've met the player, interviewed him, and I'm rooting for him. But you do bring up an interesting situation. There's only so many roster spots available. Let me ask you this. Is Zylstra still eligible to be like a practice squad call-up type guy?
Yeah. You're allowed so many veteran spots on the practice squad now. So you don't, it isn't like it used to be a few years ago where players had to be in like their first or second year in the league. And after a while, they weren't eligible to be in the practice squad anymore. Now a certain number of your like what, 16 spots in the practice squad now, I think it is, can be veterans, any length of service in the NFL, which is the reason why the Lions could sign Zach Ertz to the practice squads last year.
That makes a lot of That makes a lot of sense. And, you know they want depth, right? So they're going to go into training camp with four guys. Who knows? There could be a fifth guy, or I'm sure there will be somebody else that comes in as well. But knowing that we have these four people back, you feel really good about that room. Another room that they brought somebody back just today, running back Zonovan Knight. Now, that's not a name all Lions fans are going to be super familiar with, because we had him for a very limited time last year. He was brought in to be a depth piece when we had some injuries, and he himself got hurt. He got him over from the Jets. I don't know. I think it's a one-year deal. I'm not sure what the details are on the contract, but I just know he is coming back. What do you make of this?
Very similar, I think, to the Zylstra signing, where, you know, he's going to be a guy who's going to come in and compete with Reynolds for the third running back spot, and maybe be a practice squad guy. But he's got a good ceiling on him. You know, he's got potential to be a good running back. You know, his work with the Jets was pretty good when they used him. They just had a glut of running backs last season, so somebody had to be the odd man out. And with four, could be him again this year, maybe coming into the season. But I like that as good depth. And especially as somebody who's fairly young still and has a lot of miles left on the tires and good upside.
Yeah, I echo all of those thoughts. I love the fact that we've got him back because you want to have depth. I mean, we remember the Tampa game where Craig Reynolds was the only running back healthy in that game, if I'm not mistaken, and it got a little nervous for a little bit. And so just because if he went down, then where were you going to go? So that helps round that room out. And again, we say round that room out. You don't know what else is going to happen, right? You could draft somebody in a late round or whatnot, but right now you feel great. We know who our top two guys are, and we feel really good with Craig Reynolds and then Zonovan Knight in there. So let's go to the defense, because that's where some other things have been happening. And the big defensive move that the Lions brought back was signing Emmanuel Mosley. Now, in our preview episode, I said, I'm hoping, I really want them to bring him back. I probably should have said, because I really had this much conviction, that I would be shocked if they didn't bring him back, because there's no club that has more familiarity with him in the last year than the Lions. I mean, you can go back the year before to San Francisco, but he got hurt. He was around the club all last season. You had mentioned that before. He comes back on a very low-risk contract for the Lions. We don't know when he'll get healthy. He might be healthy by the beginning of the season. This past year, he had a setback in his rehab. But we're not going to bring him in as our number one or number two. It's going to be, I think, a 3-4-5 spot, as we mentioned before. But this has so much upside with so little risk written all over it.
Yeah, and I imagine that they got him for a pretty reasonable amount. You know, a guy going into free agency that's not a young guy anymore, coming off of a torn ACL. It's his second one in his career, second in as many years. So he basically hasn't played much in 2 years. He wasn't going to command much money on the free agent market. So the Lions are giving him another 1 year prove it deal. You know, he's the guy who, when healthy, is a starting corner for them. So it's a very good gamble for them. You know, I still see them adding to that cornerback room, whether it's in the draft or free agency or even both in this offseason. And, you know, so that's another area that I think needs to be addressed, that in defensive line and on the defense. And we'll see how they do that. But Mosley is a good start. Nice insurance, I think.
Well, and you talked about starters. I mean, a guy who has been starting for the Lions, Jerry Jacobs, did not have his contract tendered. So that's another secondary piece, former starter who, by all appearances, does not look like he's coming back. If they were going to bring him back, you would have thought they would have tendered him on that contract. And so they're moving on from him. They're moving on from Tracy Walker, it appears, not tendering his contract. So those are some people who have had some serious contributions to this Lions defense in the past who will not be here this coming season in all likelihood.
Yeah, Jacobs could be. You know, they just didn't want to pay him the, I think it's $3.1 million that you have to do the restricted free agent tender on him. So I think they're, you know, maybe hoping that they get him back on like a, you know, a veteran minimum contract type of thing. Because I just don't know how much of a market there will be for an undrafted free agent who worked his way into a starting job for a little while and then lost it after a season. But he is a nice depth if they can bring him back at a pretty affordable price, which I think they would maybe be interested in doing.
Yeah. And so as we work in the secondary here, let's break this up into two parts. Let's start and stay at defensive back for right now. right? We talked about Mosley coming back. We talk about Jerry Jacobs not likely coming back, but if he does, it's going to be at a lower price, we would expect. But there's a report that the Lions just might be interested in being a trading partner for Legarius Sneed. Now, this caught me off guard because I was thinking that the asking price was going to be like a first-round pick, but it might not be a first-round pick. It might be a second. What are your thoughts on this? I'm not expecting it to happen. I want you to know that. I don't think it's going to happen, but the fact that they're even entertaining it does say something.
Yeah, I almost wonder if Holmes is getting into this just to inflate the price on some for somebody else, because I just don't see him being the kind of guy who's going to give up high draft picks and then pay a player a massive contract on top of that. And, you know, Legarius Sneed had a great season last year, but it kind of came out of nowhere. You know, he wasn't that good prior to that. So you're going to pay a huge premium, a giant contract, a long contract for a guy who's had one great season. And I just don't see Holmes doing that. If they're going to go for corner in free agency, I could see him going more, you know, a Cam Sutton, maybe a little bit higher contract than that, for somebody like Kendall Fuller, you know, but, or Darius Williams. Darius Williams seems to be like a perfect Lion fit.
Yeah, I agree with you on the trading high draft picks and giving a big contract does not seem in line. Now, I do think we are going to make an effort for a defensive back, and the Cam Sutton or higher makes sense because everyone talks about what Brad Holmes has done the last 2 years, but the last 2 years, he did not have the team he currently has. So we have to remember there may be some slight variations of what we've seen in the past. And we know the Lions want to go into this season with a better secondary, and that's going to start with an outside defensive back. Mm-hmm. And so the fact that they're even being mentioned in the Legarius Sneed thing, it might just be to raise the price up, but maybe that means, if not Sneed, maybe Marshawn Lattimore is a guy, because we know the Saints have salary cap issues, and Lattimore is a guy the Lions coaching staff knows a little bit more about, because you're right, with Sneed just having that one big season, you're kind of nervous to give someone a big contract if they aren't in your building and have that big season, because there's so many things you don't know about. But then instead of even trading, Kendall Fuller's out there, right? You brought up Williams. What about Gilmore, right? He's older, but he could be a bridge guy and a short-term solution while you also draft. I do think we'll draft in addition to signing a free agent. I would be surprised if we actually don't do both.
Yeah, I think so. And Gilmore could be a good option. His brother already plays for the Detroit Lions, you know, so they'd be in the same room. So I think that's an edge that the Lions may have there. And yeah, I don't think there's going to be a huge market for a cornerback who's, you know, on the wrong end of 30, you know, but he still was pretty solid last year with the Cowboys. So and he could be another guy who's going to be cheap because of that, or at least pretty reasonable. And Brad Holmes looks for those guys. And, you know, in previous years in free agency, he was looking for younger guys all the time in free agency because he was building. Now it's a little less of a build and he's looking to just add. So I think he might look at some of those older free agents now that he hasn't in the past couple of years. And I think Darius Williams is another guy. You know, he's 29. I think he'll be 30 before the season starts. But he's got experience with Deshae Townsend, the new defensive backs coach for the Lions. He was signed by the Rams when Brad Holmes was there with the Rams. So there's some connections there. And he's a veteran corner with starting outside experience who won't break the bank.
Well, that's it too, right? You want to be able to add some guys that can be a starter that won't break the bank and someone who's got experience. And again, it doesn't have to be a long-term thing, but yeah, there are some younger guys yet. I will be surprised if the Lions don't bring in a free agent corner of decent quality like the guys we've mentioned. Also, Kendall Vildor is always a chance to re-sign as a depth piece. We don't know yet. That has not come out, but that wouldn't shock me either.
Now, I'd like to see him back.
Yeah. So would I. He was pretty physical.
Yep. I think he's, as a third or fourth corner, going to be better than what you can find out there for a lot of spots for that thing. And he probably won't break the bank either. So.
Well, I mean, we talked about not breaking the bank. I don't know what happened here, man. But apparently the safety position in the NFL might be getting severely devalued because I have never seen so many safeties released from teams in a 5-day period as I have. I mean, Seattle and Buffalo were a big part of it. I think Denver maybe just released one. We're talking Quandre Diggs, right, from Seattle, former Detroit Lion. I know a lot of people are like, hey, bring him back. And you know what? I'm not opposed to bringing him back. It's an interesting situation because we've got Ifeatu Melifonwu and we've got Kirby Joseph, two starters on rookie contracts. The thing is, with Tracy gone and with C.J. Gardner-Johnson, we don't know what's going on with him. We don't have any depth if neither of them are back. So if you brought somebody like Diggs back, is he going to want to be a backup? Are you paying him to be a backup? Or are you going to push Ify back into a backup role? And with this flooded market, I mean, C.J. Gardner-Johnson can't be liking this because that's going to even more severely push down his value. What are you making of all this safety stuff going on, James?
I think it's kind of the running back syndrome a little bit to a different degree. I think a few years ago in free agency, teams were overpaying for safeties, and now there's kind of a market correction with that. And with teams up against the salary cap, they're cutting those big name safeties who were making a decent amount of money, realizing that they can sign, that there's a glut in the market this year of free agent safeties, and they can sign somebody cheaper and save a couple million bucks here or there and get probably the same guy.
Do you think the Lions will bring somebody in that's got a bigger name or somebody that got released that could add something as an insurance policy or a starter? Because, you know, if he's been injured on and off throughout his career, and we need depth. And so you're thinking, okay, do you bring a lower level person in to back these guys up? Or do you bring somebody who's maybe on the same level as them and maybe if he rotates?
Yeah, I like bringing in Quandre Diggs, you know, former Detroit Lion, didn't seem happy when they traded him away, didn't get along with Matt Patricia, but that happened with a decent number of players. So, and we've seen him last year jump on the Lions bandwagon a little bit in the postseason as well. He was one of those players who I think came back and attended one of the playoff games. I think that there would probably be some mutual interest from him there too. And he's at an age where he's in his upper 20s now, where he's probably nobody's going to pay him big bucks at this point, but he's still a good safety. He was one of the top tackling safeties in the NFL last year.
And do you think that's an issue with the two guys we currently have there? If you brought somebody like him in and they, I guess what the Lions do is you come in, you compete, and whoever does the best is the starter, right?
Yeah, or they just do what they did last season after Gardner Johnson was healthy and just rotate three safeties and play them all a lot. And mix Brian Branch in there too when you're not using a nickel guy and just be good. And then if you have an injury, you've got two good guys, hopefully, still, you know.
So with this flooded safety market, you know, we're talking about Quandre Diggs coming in. How does this affect C.J. Gardner-Johnson? Does this increase the chance that he comes back to the Lions, or does this just help whoever else might happen to be considering signing him?
I think it could be a little bit of both. He's been linked with going back to Philadelphia already this offseason, and they were one of those teams. They released a corner today too, so they're looking for some defensive back help, and so. You know, I think that could happen. I think you could also see him back in Detroit because it's going to push his price down. If it pushes his price down, I think that they would look at him.
All right. So, I mean, those are very interesting developments because now we're talking about the Lions maybe bringing in a safety and a middle to higher range defensive back, things that we weren't quite so sure about not too long ago. But that's changed a lot with more players becoming available. Another position where more guys have become available is the defensive line. There are a number of quality guys out there that if the Lions want to make a move, they don't have to trade for one and pay a big contract. They could sign somebody. And I'm starting to think the Lions might bring somebody in there as well and kind of double dip, one at defensive back, one at defensive line. That could have a really big impact on the defense, James.
Mm-hmm. I think so. And I think, you know, one guy I think that they may look would be Emmanuel Ogba from the Dolphins. He's one of those guys that, you know, the Dolphins and the Jaguars both had salary cap issues and had to cut a lot of guys in the last week. And so you're going to see a lot of guys from those two rosters pop up in your free agent stuff, especially because they were released by their team and not their contract expired. So they don't count against the compensatory draft pick compensation you know, so and Holmes likes getting those extra draft picks through the compensatory picks. So those signing those kind of free agents are just a little extra bonus where you may get an extra draft pick out of the deals in a roundabout way.
Well, in addition to those guys, I mean, the names most fans are probably thinking of are Chris Jones and Christian Wilkins, right? But those are guys set to be probably the most highly paid defensive linemen in the NFL. Is, you know, and Chris Jones, it sounds like he's probably going back to Kansas City. But Christian Wilkins might be the most sought-after defensive lineman in free agency. Do you see the Lions making that big of a splash or going for somebody else like a Leonard Williams or one of the guys that you mentioned?
Yeah, I think I don't see them going for Wilkins. I can see them being somebody who's linked to him, who they maybe contact him and see if maybe he would give them a discount, you know, if he wants to chase a ring type of thing. But I just can't see them signing a free agent that's going to cost $20+ million a season, especially when they have their own guys, you know, to re-sign here coming up in the next year or so. Holmes has not been that guy, and Campbell seems to not be that guy either, where they want to pay somebody big bucks from outside the building that they don't know 100% if they're going to fit the culture, fit the locker room. They, you know, they bring them in for a year, they see if they fit, and then they re-sign them.
That makes a lot of sense because, again, they say, you know, Campbell even talked about this in his presser before, which was, you know, everything about a person if they've been here a year or two, and you feel that much better about giving them a big deal because you know what you're getting. And we just talked defensive line, but we didn't talk defensive end. You know, Danielle Hunter, that's a person that everybody wants from the Lions because he's with Minnesota and he's really good. But that would be a really expensive deal as well. And there are a few others around the league. So we could see like someone like Za'Darius Smith. He's a little bit older. So I don't know what's going to happen with outside edge rushers, if that's someone they might grab or bring somebody in that could add something to the side there.
Yeah, I think it could be, you know, and there are a couple of those guys out there. You know, the Jaguars cut a couple of their starting defensive linemen. Fadukasi is a defensive tackle, and I'm trying to think the other one, the rush linebacker. I can't remember his name for them. Kind of a James Houston type.
Yeah, you know, so
a rush defensive end.
Yeah, so there's definitely more options available. And like you said, some of these guys that got cut, if they got cut, you can start talking to them right now. And so that will speed in the pace up on some of this and help kind of the Lions put a puzzle together. But there's more pieces to this puzzle than we initially expected. So it's going to be pretty exciting over these next few days as things start again. The official start of free agency is March 13th, Wednesday. On March 11th, Monday, they can start the legal tampering period when they start talking with guys. Now, in addition to the Lions, let's look at what else is affecting the NFC North. I just want to touch on one position here before we get out of here, and that's the quarterback situation, right? The Lions situation, I don't think we have to worry about that. We pretty much know what we have. We have Jared Goff. We have Hendon Hooker. They may bring in a third guy. We've talked about that. But in the NFC North, we know Jordan Love is also the guy in Green Bay. But when it comes to Minnesota and Chicago, there's a lot of stuff up in the air. Chicago, the winds seem to be blowing that Fields might get traded and they're going to draft Caleb Williams at number one. So let's start right there with Chicago. What are your thoughts? Do you think that's what's going to happen? And is that what you want to happen?
It seems to be the talk of what's going to happen, what's going to be the most likely scenario. And yes, I would love to see that happen because I can see Caleb Williams not being a successful NFL quarterback. He's got boom or bust potential. He could be a great quarterback, but I think there's a lot of risk along with him at being the number one pick, especially going to a team that doesn't have a great line. So, you know, they're going to need to put a decent defense in front of him, which Chicago has pretty solid defense. That was his problem at USC, is that they had one of the worst defenses in the country, and he just couldn't quite outscore what his defense was giving up single-handedly. And you saw him kind of, you know, get rattled in games and fall apart and everything, which is, I mean, not what you like to see from a guy that you're picking with the number one overall draft pick, but is the amount of talent there is immense.
Oh, for sure. And that's real interesting because you know, I've said from the beginning, I guess I want them to draft Caleb Williams because I don't want them to trade down and get 25 more draft picks for that spot. But the truth of the matter is, I want them to do whatever makes them not as good so that the Lions have a lesser opponent to face. The truth is, though, I don't know what that answer is because Justin Fields does have potential still. I wouldn't say his career is over by any means, but we'll have to see what happens there. But that's what it's looking like is going to happen with Chicago. Again, it's looking like they're going to trade Fields. That might be for a second round pick or whatnot. So they're going to get extra picks maybe this year, maybe next year. We don't know what's going to happen and likely draft Caleb Williams. But then the other team is the Minnesota Vikings. Kirk Cousins is a free agent. He could have re-signed with them already. He could have signed with them an extension before the injury. But I don't think the Vikings wanted to guarantee him any more money because he gets all this guaranteed money. So at this point, Kirk Cousins is not expected to be back. If that's the case, it's looking like Minnesota might be drafting a quarterback of the future and or signing a free agent. They could sign a free agent to just kind of be a stopgap person. A bridge quarterback, or they could be actually just going riding with the drafted quarterback, whoever it is, if they trade up or who lands to them when they're picking in the first round. What are your thoughts on Minnesota?
Yeah, they kind of put their foot in their mouth when I can't remember what person it was in the front office made a kind of offhanded comment about Kirk Cousins. And I would imagine that he did not take that very, very well, very lightly. And, you know, certainly made it sound like he was not going to be back and they didn't see him as the quarterback of the future or somebody that they could win a Super Bowl with. A lot of other teams that are somewhat close do. And so, you know, you've got the Atlantas and maybe the Steelers, although supposedly they've kind of backed out a little bit of that. But, you know, and then even Cleveland. I've heard even maybe Cleveland looking at Justin Fields, maybe a little bit more, but also maybe kind of looking to hedge their bets with the Deshaun Watson.
Well, you know, the other connection with Kirk Cousins is Atlanta, because I believe his wife has family from that area. And I don't know, maybe Minnesota, I don't know how things will work out, what will happen. But I go back to a phrase that Brad Holmes said, which is it's a lot easier to get worse in the NFL than better at quarterback. And with Kirk Cousins, you know, he might not be top three or top five, but he is a very competent quarterback. And it'll be interesting to see. We saw that we figured they would have made the playoffs last year if he didn't get hurt. And so for that, Minnesota is going to be a real interesting team to watch this offseason and see what they do at quarterback. James, before we get out of here, I've got one more thing to bring up. But before that, any last thoughts on the free agency frenzy that's about to take place?
I think we covered it pretty well.
I do too. Yeah. Well, awesome. Well then, hey, let's buckle up. Let's get ready and get your popcorn. I think the show's about to start. So yeah, James, one more thing I want to bring up. It's something we've been talking about forever. At least it seems like it. Jerseys, new jerseys. There's no official word that the Lions are getting new jerseys this year. We thought that might happen last year, but one thing we've been seeing is the Detroit Lions are having a jersey sale at Ford Field. If you get there, if you're a season ticket holder, you can go in person and get 50% off select jerseys, which means they may be trying to clear out inventory before the new ones come out. And so that's going to be a lot of talk right there. We'll just do a mini one right here, James. Do you have any thoughts on if they're coming out with new jerseys, anything you want to see?
Yeah, I don't know about exactly anything I want to see, but I think that the clearancing their old jerseys is definitely a sign. I think that they've got a new one. And there's a website that kind of keeps track of NFL jerseys that kind of said the same thing, that it looks like the Lions are clearing the decks for giving new jerseys. And they even had a date of April that they may unveil new uniforms in April.
Well, the deadline to get those is April 15th. That's when it ends, this sale. And so if you want to guarantee an old school jersey of the Lions, which is current school, but at some point will become old school, I guess I would say get down there and get one of those.
Yeah, and it'd be perfect timing for the Lions to do this. What better timing than a week before when you host the draft to start selling new uniforms, when you're going to have a couple hundred thousand people in downtown Detroit, you know, at the draft, waiting to buy new jerseys.
You sound like a marketing person over there. Yes, no, that's a great point. I'm going to say one thing. I have an opinion about jerseys. I know a lot of people want black. They want black back. And you know what? It's the silver and blue. And so I'm partial to the silver and blue. I hope we stay silver and blue.
Yeah, the black ones can be the, you know, your alternate jerseys or whatever, but I don't think that they're going to ever be the main jersey.
Fair enough, fair enough. Well, James, this was awesome. I look forward to seeing what happens this weekend. Thanks for joining as usual.
No problem. Thanks for having me on, man.
And thank you, folks, so much for tuning in. You can find all the episodes at notthesameoldlions.com. If you're listening on YouTube, please hit that like button. And while you're at it, tell your friends about the show and please subscribe regardless of your listening platform. Until next time, stay gritty, my friends.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.